going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're back with more draft night coverage on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Here's Rami Makhlouf.
Hour two of three for yours truly on The Score's draft coverage. By the way, draft coverage continues tomorrow at 9. It's the Mullion Haw Draft Special featuring Olin Kreutz live until noon, reacting to what the Bears did during the first two nights of the NFL draft. Then from 12 to 2:30, I'm joined by Anthony Herron during day three of the draft, leading right up to Cubs and Phillies. It all starts at 9 a.m. right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. Still a lot to get to on a busy night two of the draft for the Bears. We need to hear from all the draft picks. We need to hear from Ryan Poles. We'll go out to Hallis Hall and check in with Chris Emma, our Bears reporter. Check out all his great coverage at 670thescore.com. If you're just tuning in and maybe you were at work, second shift, not really sure what the Bears did today with that 39th pick in the draft. They took Luther Burden III, wide receiver out of Missouri. They then trade with the Bills to get two more second round picks at 56 and 62. And with those picks, they take Ozzie Trapillo out of Boston College, the offensive tackle, who we'll hear from in just a minute, and Shamar Turner, the defensive tackle out of Texas A&M. I want to hear from you at 312-644-6767. Let me attend to some quick business real quick. If you're on hold, hang right there. Going to get to your calls and your texts in just 1 minute. Quickly, what's gone down in round three of the NFL draft with the first pick, Darius Alexander, defensive tackle out of Toledo, goes to the Giants. Chiefs go with Ashton Gillette, Louisville edge. Harold Fannin Jr., Bowling Green tight end, goes to the Browns with the third pick in the third round. Darian Porter, Iowa State cornerback, goes to the Raiders. Kyle Williams, wide receiver out of Washington State, goes to the Patriots. Isaac Tesla, Arkansas wide receiver, goes to the Detroit Lions. Vernon Broughton, Texas defensive tackle, to the Saints. Landon Jackson, edge rusher, Arkansas, goes to the Bills with one of those picks that they got from the Bears. Azarehi Thomas, Florida State cornerback, goes to the Jets. Pat Bryant out of Illinois, the wide receiver, going to the Broncos. Nick Martin, linebacker out of Ohio State, goes to the 49ers. Siobhan Revel Jr., East Carolina cornerback, to the Cowboys. Princely Umanmielian. Yeah, I'm going to go with that. From Ole Miss, edge rusher, he's with the Panthers. Jordan Birch, Oregon edge rusher, goes to the Cardinals. Jalen Noel, wide receiver from Iowa State, to the Texans. Justin Wally, cornerback, Minnesota, to the Colts. Dylan Fairchild, Georgia offensive guard, to the Bengals. Kevin Winston Jr. of Penn State, the safety, goes to the Titans. Caleb Johnson, a running back a lot of Bears fans are hoping slipped to their round four pick. He goes to the Steelers at 19 in the third round. Jacob Perry, Kansas State cornerback, goes to the Buccaneers. Noel Williams, California cornerback, to the Chiefs. Jamari Caldwell, Oregon defensive tackle, to the Chargers. Savion Williams, another wide receiver for the Packers out of Texas Christian. Jags with back-to-back picks. They go with Caleb Bransaw, cornerback from Tulane. Wyatt Millam, West Virginia, offensive guard. Josiah Stewart, Michigan edge, goes to the Rams. Emory Jones Jr., LSU, offensive tackle, to the Ravens. This is where I guess kind of a surprise came. I saw Tyler Buterbaugh's eyes light up over there as the Seahawks announced Jalen Milroe, Alabama QB, with that 28th pick in the third round. So it looks like Shedeur Sanders is going to slip to the fourth round. A guy with first round talent is going to slip to the fourth round. Jonas Sanker, Virginia safety, to the Saints. Dylan Gabriel, Oregon QB, to the Browns. Jared Wilson, Georgia center, to the Pats. Xavier Watts from Notre Dame, their safety, to the Falcons, and Jalen Smith from USC, the cornerback, goes to the Houston Texans. You were all caught up on round three of the NFL draft. I'm going to give you a scouting report from Ozzie Trapillo, the offensive tackle from Boston College, and we'll hear from the Bears' second round pick coming up in just a few minutes. But let's get out to the phones and out to Knoxville, Tennessee, where Rick is listening on the Odyssey app. What's up, Rick? How do you feel about what the Bears have done tonight?
Well, I got to be honest. First, I really appreciate you doing a show this evening.
My absolute pleasure.
I have spent a lot of time listening to The Score and to other radio and about Chicago sports, and had no my eyes on none of these guys, really. I know that Mully had kind of picked Loveland, but mm-hmm. I just got to say, again, you got to trust Ben, like you're saying, but it's an interesting week with, and you've got to deal with Chicago. That's got a lot of like PTSD, well. And
for sure.
So, you got a guy that starts the week by doing a poem, which was beautiful, but just, yeah. And then we're the team that's drafting guys that have jumped out of swimming pools. So again, you got to trust, but I really, as far as running back goes, I, although undersized a little bit, did nothing but perform, and I watched a lot of it because I was stuck in the TV zone for this, but Dylan Sampson, the running back here at UT, sounds very interesting to me and intriguing now that some of the guys that we all wanted. I really don't have a lot of faith in Scadaboo to really, I'm just not sold on him. I watched him at Sacramento State for a while. I don't know. And then the last thing I'll say before I hang up was, I wonder with what's happening with Sanders. I saw some bozo say the Bears should draft him. No, thank you. But I wonder how much pressure there is. What comes along with Sanders? You got to think about that. If the team that he's at is using him, that they're probably not doing all that well. And so then is his dad coming along, and then is his dad wanting to pick out his own GM? I just wonder. And so that's some of my thoughts that I was thinking about as I was sitting here listening to you is the ripple effect of drafting a Sanders going to be...
That thought did cross my mind, Rick. I appreciate the call, man, and thanks for listening all the way out there in Knoxville, Tennessee. That thought did cross my mind, that Shedeur Sanders has never played for any coach other than his dad. Like, going all the way back to Pee Wee football, all the way through high school, college, his dad was his coach. And, yeah, if he goes somewhere and it doesn't go well for the first year or two and you're losing a lot of football games, and do you want to be a head coach looking over your shoulder for your quarterback's dad to come and take your job? You know what I mean? That's weird, dude. That's really weird. I don't know. But if I'm an NFL coach, I feel like you got to have the ego, the security, the confidence to not worry about that, to believe that you're going to win, and so that won't be an issue. I'm not going to get fired because I'm going to win, and I believe in myself that I'm going to win. If you think this kid is an NFL quarterback, and an NFL quarterback with first-round talent, you're going to let his dad scare you off? That seems crazy to me, man. That seems wild to me. He brought up Dylan Sampson, the running back from Tennessee. That was on the list of running backs that Tyler sent to me earlier as potential fourth-round targets. I'm looking at Dane Brugler's The Beast draft guide. He's the last running back on the board who he has with a second-slash-third-round grade. So if you can get a guy like that with a fourth-round pick, that's pretty good. You'll take that. 4.42 in the 40? I'll take that all day. If he slips to them in the fourth round. Jordan James, still there. We talked about some of these names earlier. Cam Scadabo, DJ Giddens. There are still some running backs on the board. And like I said earlier, running backs on this board with third and fourth round grades are maybe running backs with second and third round grades in other drafts because of the depth here. So still some value, still some quality value to be had at the running back position, and maybe somebody they can bring in to complement DeAndre Swift. I'm remiss in not reading your texts this evening. Let me get to some of those. From the 309, Burden is truly BPA, Peoria Matt. For those of you not up on your draft lingo, BPA is best player available. And I do think that was a major factor in taking him. I think Ben Johnson is a major factor in it, and the role that slot receivers have played in his offense in the past, but also possibly the third best receiver in this draft, man, and a guy who a lot of people had with a first round grade and first round talent. So I do think that is something that you have to consider when he falls to you at that pick, and those two running backs from Ohio State already having been taken. This from the 217. I was surprised that we drafted a wide receiver in the second round as well. I like the other two picks. Now we need a running back, an edge rusher, and a safety. That's a lot. That's a lot to address here with the picks that they have remaining. And then this one from the 630. I want to trust the Bears and Poles, but we recently traded a second round pick for a temperamental wide receiver. I'm surprised we picked someone who we didn't meet with. That last point I'll address first. Teams draft guys they didn't meet with all the time. It happens all the time. It's always like you hear it and you're like, huh? What? You drafted a guy you didn't even talk to? But it happens all the time in the NFL. I don't really worry about that. We're already calling him temperamental. Is that a rap that he comes with? I didn't even know that was a rap that he comes with. I know, and Tyler, I don't know if this is what you were about to say. We're going to play it back later. He didn't sound thrilled in his little powwow with the Chicago media. He might just be a low-key dude. You know what I mean? That might just be his vibe, and it doesn't necessarily mean that he's upset or temperamental or doesn't want to be here by any means. We're jumping to some crazy conclusions for a guy who was drafted 2.5 hours ago. That's wild.
Yeah, I think that's a little excessive. I mean, I think the biggest reasoning for his, like, he didn't seem too thrilled, because I think he was kind of expected to be a first round draft pick. I mean, I'm surprised he didn't get picked in the first round. Before the season started, I considered him the best wide receiver going into last season. But I think a lot of it is just, I think he's still ticked off that he didn't get picked in the first round, which I think a lot of people expected him to be. And going back to with the Bears, like with not meeting them, it's like, I don't think the Bears were expecting him to fall to them in the second round. I think that's the biggest thing about it.
That's a good point. Yeah, you don't meet with guys who you don't think are going to be there when it comes to your pick in the draft. So, yeah, I think that's... Here's another one from the 630. All I know is what I read in here. He didn't sound happy to be a Bear, and some analysts say he takes plays off when he's not a primary wide receiver. That is... I read the Dane Brugler scouting report earlier. That is in the scouting report that he takes plays off. And you never like to read that, but Randy Moss took plays off. You know what I mean? Like, guys take plays off and are still really good football players. Go ahead.
I was saying, I think having Antoine Rondell-L as like the wide receivers coach, and he's going to be the guy to really kind of comb him through, and yeah, I think get him right.
You're going to hear about it if you take plays
exactly
off with Antoine Rondell-L. That dude is intense, and I like it. We want to hear from Ozzie Trapillo, the offensive tackle they took with their second third-round pick. Get to that in just one sec, but first let me get Asher in Lakeview. He's been waiting patiently. Asher, you're on the score. What's up, buddy?
How are you doing tonight?
Great.
Yeah, these Bears picks, I wasn't too happy with that Colston Loveland pick initially. You know, we already got Cole Kmet at tight end. I had Warren above Loveland on my board, but it's kind of grown on me. You know, 6'6", 248. He's kind of going to be a bigger wide receiver three almost. I mean, there's some issues with the pad level while blocking, but I really think he's going to be a great addition to this Ben Johnson offense.
Yeah, I really like the pick. Yes, and like you, it kind of grew on me the more that I talked about it, the more that I heard people talk about it, the more that I read up on the dude and watched some of the highlight reels. Yesterday's pick really grew on me, and tonight I like the picks on a number of levels. Again, like I just said with Luther Burden III, first round type of talent falls to you in the second round. A guy who is maybe the third best receiver in this draft fits into that slot that Ben Johnson likes to use a lot. So I like that. I like the trade to get the two extra second round picks, even if you had to move out of the third to do it. It looks like there's still going to be some quality running back talent there with the seventh pick in the fourth round. I really like what they've done to this point, Asher.
Yeah, I was really hoping tonight, though, they would maybe snag Mike Green, or maybe last night they were even going to trade back for a Shamar Stewart kind of guy. But I've liked the draft up to this point. I think Ben Johnson's doing a good job in his inaugural draft. Tonight I'm hoping, or tomorrow I'm hoping, maybe the Bears can snag Scadaboo. I think he'd be good to take the load off Swift a little bit. You know, you can see some troubles with ball like stability sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. He had a great game, won the Peach Bowl MVP against Texas in the playoffs, even on a losing Arizona State team. So I really like Scadaboo as a maybe fourth, fifth round kind of guy.
Ash, I really appreciate the call, and thanks for hanging on for a while.
Have a great night.
I want to now get to, I gave you the scouting report on Luther Burden III a little earlier in the show. Now let's get to Ozzie Trapillo, the offensive tackle taken out of Boston College with their second round pick that the Bears had. 6'8", 316, 5-year senior, 23 going on 24. The strengths: tall with functional length and wide base, moves well for his size with excellent timing to landmarks in both pass pro and run game, has feet to protect the corner, impressive hand usage mid-mirror and resets quickly to knock away advances of rushers, hand placement and grip strength already on NFL level, zero penalties on 772 offensive snaps in 2024. That'll be a breath of fresh air on that Bears offensive line. Fluid out of stance to close space, fit and seal as a run blocker. Body control makes him efficient on combos, tandems, and when picking off linebackers, sees things quickly to handle whatever stunts and games defenses throw at him. Quality starting experience, including time at both tackle positions, also logged starts at both left and right guard. Weaknesses: the list is much, much shorter. I like that. Plays with flat back, but inconsistent, dropping hips to re-anchor versus power. Caught playing with high post contact. Battles with quality strength, but can continue to get stronger through the core. Guilty of drifting at times in pass pro, and knees will buckle trying to recover. That happened to me today at the gym. Knees buckled while I was trying to recover. Looked much more comfortable at right tackle than left tackle. Missed two games as a sophomore because of a knee injury, and one as a junior with lower body issue. Played you the clip of Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network earlier, comparing him to Big John Studd, the 1980s wrestler. Great comp. I love that. Also said he's a day one starter. Let's hear. We heard about Ozzie Trapillo. Let's hear from Ozzie Trapillo meeting the Chicago media for the first time earlier tonight after he was taken with the 56th pick in the draft by your Chicago Bears.
Hey, Ozzie, congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm curious. We keep seeing about the zero penalties last year, and I'm sure it's something you take a lot of pride in. How do you kind of become an offensive lineman who is so disciplined and can avoid those penalty flags?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's something I take a lot of pride in. I think I, you know, try to make my whole play style very disciplined overall. So, you know, the entirety of my game, I like to think is discipline. That's kind of what I pride myself on. So, you know, that goes the same thing with penalties. And I think, you know, practice, just working hard, really being locked in at all times is kind of the reason for that. And that's just what I try to do throughout, you know, the entire game.
Hey, what's up, Ozzie? Welcome to Chicago, man.
Thank
I got
you.
A two-part question for you. One, what's your comfort level on playing right side versus left side? Do you have a preference?
Yeah, no. I would say, you know, if you asked me that during the season, I would obviously say right, because that's where I practiced. But as soon as the season ended, you know, going to this level especially, you want to be as versatile as possible. So I've done a ton of work at, you know, all positions except center. So I would just be ready to fill wherever is needed. That's the main goal, right? Get on the field as soon as possible. So that's kind of how I've focused my training these last few months. And, you know, I think I've done a good job with that. So I wouldn't have a preference at the moment.
Have the Bears given you any indication of where they want to play you?
No. Yeah. Kind of similar topic. Nothing in specific. Again, I'm a competitor. I'm going to go out there and compete and just try and get on the field as soon as I can and, you know, help out the team.
Ozzie, you went to the same high school as your dad and the same college as your dad, right?
Yep.
What does it mean to be a draft pick like he was?
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't really sank in yet. You know, my whole family's upstairs. They're super excited when they saw it on the TV. I got the phone call. It's really amazing. This has been my dream for as long as I can remember, since I was a kid. So now that it's kind of finally come to fruition, you know, it's pretty surreal. Again, it hasn't really sunk in yet. I'm sure in a couple hours it'll have sunk in, but I'm super excited. Super grateful for the opportunity. And yeah, I look forward to the future.
Ryan Poles has obviously some connections there at BC. How well do you know him? Was he around at any point? What's been your dealings with him?
Yeah. You know, I've met with him before in Indy. Yeah. And, you know, we talked about BC. That connection, you know, is hard not to talk about. So we had good conversations about that. And yeah, I mean, super excited to have another BC guy on staff.
Hey, Ozzie, congratulations. Obviously, everyone, you know, sees your size, but what would you tell people about your ability to move out there on the field and your athleticism?
Yeah, I think the size can be deceptive, because you see a guy who's so big and you might think immediately, you know, they might not be an athlete. They might not move as well. I think I do a good job, you know, footwork wise, hand placement, you know, sort of those athletic traits. I think I'm pretty well-rounded as a player. So, you know, and that's something that I really work on, you know, being taller. It doesn't all come natural to me, but putting in the work, you know, day in, day out, I think has really helped kind of elevate my game to be well-rounded.
Congrats on being drafted by the Bears, Ozzie. I'm sorry if you answered this already. What would you say the type of player the Bears are getting? How would you kind of describe yourself to fans that don't know much about you?
Yeah, I would say I'm a competitor. So, you know, every day show up, compete. You know, coming into a new program, my main goal now is to just get on the field as soon as possible. I've mentioned that before. But, well, you know, well-rounded, disciplined player. I'm going to play hard, play tough, but also play smart and under control. You know, don't let emotions get the best of me. Try and stay, you know, in the moment at all times, very focused and, you know, disciplined.
I'm wondering what went into the switch from left tackle to right tackle for you at Boston College. What were those conversations like? What led to that? Then I guess, how were you able to make that transition, not only from left tackle to right tackle, but you already played a little bit of inside before going outside as well. So just what went into all those position changes there?
Yeah, I think, you know, when I was a younger guy, the first place that I started at BC was at the guard spot. So I had one start at right, one at left. And that was the same thing that I've been, you know, keep going back to, is I wanted to get on the field as soon as possible. So during practice, I showed that I could play guard, even though, you know, I'm a taller guy. So when there was a couple guys who went down or whatever the case was, that was the first spot that opened up. So I, you know, jumped at it and ended up, you know, doing well there. And then the switch between left and right tackle in 2022 was when I played left tackle. We had a tough year. We had a very young offensive line, you know, a couple injuries. And it was just a tough year for the O-line. You get five guys that hadn't had many starts out there together. It's not a good recipe. So moving forward, you know, we get a new offensive line coach. He decides that something has to change. So we go back, we watch the tape. We look right versus left. We also, another key aspect of that conversation was Christian Mahogany was coming back, and he was a set in stone right guard. He was injured the year before. So my coach had mentioned to me, hey, I think if you're okay with playing right tackle, you and Christian next to each other could be, you know, very beneficial for the team, whether it's third and short, whatever the case might be, just being able to run inside zone behind you guys, get a couple yards, just having that, you know, combo of two players out there. So there was a multitude of reasons, but those are a couple.
Ozzie, how old were you when your dad passed?
I was 3. So he passed back in 2004.
What are your, I guess, lasting memories? And obviously you mentioned earlier, just kind of carrying on the legacy. How much does that mean to you in your football journey?
Yeah. So I don't really have many memories of him myself. A lot of what I know of him is through stories from, you know, my mom, from his buddies, from our family, people that knew him, you know, beforehand. So I think in a way it's pretty cool because I get to form this sort of my own opinion on who he was as a man, just based on all this stuff that I'm hearing about him. So to be able to, and you know, a lot of people, especially as I've gotten older, say I'm very similar to him from the way we walk, the way we laugh, stuff like that. So just hearing stuff like that is very cool for me. I know it's cool for my family. They all are enjoying this process and they're super stoked. They're all upstairs right now. So being able to do that is just, it's a dream come true.
Ozzy, for people who may be unfamiliar with your game, which game would you highlight in your career to kind of go tell them to point to watch to see what kind of football player you are?
Yeah, I think, you know, for the BC O-line in general, Florida State was one that is reflective of how us as an O-line, you know, wanted to play every game. So we went in with a schedule. We said, you know, we want to run the ball. We want to dominate the line of scrimmage. We want to control the time of possession. And we did that, you know, and it was a combination of all five of us. You know, we all had a really good game, but that was one that I think overall, you know, we did a good job accomplishing our goal.
Hi, Ozzy. Welcome to Chicago. Your head coach has a tendency to use taller tackles as pass catchers. I wonder how much experience you have catching passes and if that's something that you're willing to do, even if only early on.
Yeah, absolutely. So I played tight end. I was a thinner guy growing up. Until my junior year of high school, I was a tight end and a D end. So I do have experience, you know, catching the ball. I made the switch back at junior year. I didn't think I would ever come back. But again, I'm trying to get on the field as soon as possible. Whatever, you know, it might be, I'd be happy to go out there and do it. So any situation, I'd be more than happy to go out there.
There's Ozzy Trapillo taken with the 56th pick in the draft by the Chicago Bears with one of the two second-round picks they acquired in the trade with the Buffalo Bills. And big guy, man, 6'8", 316. You heard him talking, though. He doesn't think that limits him as an athlete. At the very end, he went back to it, that he wasn't even an offensive lineman until, I think he said, until he got to college. He was a tight end and a basketball player. So some athleticism in there, some footwork in there for such a big guy. Says he prefers right tackle, but knows he's got to be open and feels like he's competent at playing both the left and right tackle position. And again, Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network, says day one starter. And if you got that, it's great, man. That is outstanding if you upgraded at left tackle with the 56th pick in the draft. We'll hit a quick break. We still need to hear from Shamar Turner, the defensive tackle taken out of Texas A&M with the third second-round pick that they have. We'll hear from Luther Burden, the wide receiver out of Missouri, the first second-round pick that they had. We're going to hear from Ryan Poles. We're going to check in with Chris Emma at Hallis Hall. And, of course, want to hear from you at 312-644-6767. More of your calls and your text on night two of the Scores draft coverage when we return right after
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality but never overpriced. Visit dollarshaveclub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This.
We're back with more draft night coverage on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Here's Rami Makhlouf.
That's me with you until midnight as we discuss the Bears' night two of the NFL draft. If you're just tuning in, they took Luther Burden III, wide receiver out of Missouri, with the 39th pick in the draft. Made a trade with the Bills to get two more second-round picks. They were sitting there at 39 and 41. After the trade with the Bills, they had 56 and 62 in addition to that 39th pick. They go with Ozzie Trapillo, the Boston College offensive tackle, with the 56th pick, and then Shamar Turner, the Texas A&M defensive tackle, with the 62nd pick. I've gotten you all caught up on Burden. I got you all caught up on Ozzie Trapillo with the scouting reports on those guys. We will get you caught up on Shamar Turner, tell you a little bit more about him coming up here in just a few minutes, and hear from Turner himself as he met with the Chicago media. We'll hear from Burden. We'll hear from Ryan Poles. We'll hear from Chris Emma, who's out at Hallis Hall covering it all. And when I'm not hearing from them, I want to hear from you at 312-644-6767. Let me go right out to those phones and go out to the north side. And Steve, you're on the score. What do you got, man?
Hey, what's going on, man? Great job these last two nights.
Appreciate it.
Number 62. Second round.
Trapillo.
The guy out of Texas A&M.
Oh, 62. Yeah, Shamar Turner, the Texas A&M defensive tackle.
Yeah, I know that Ryan Poles want to make sure he draft players in the trenches on both sides of the ball. But leading up to the draft, they had their eye on the Boise State running back.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of figured that wasn't going to happen. But the next running back that I think the Bears unfortunately missed out on is this guy out of Iowa. He's a game breaker. He's a playmaker. I don't see any other, unless you can enlighten me, any other running backs that Ryan Poles is looking for. I'm going to say this real short, and I'm going to let you go.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking with a friend, and we was discussing the Dallas Cowboys when Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman, and Michael Irvin, when they all got together, they was young, you know?
Yeah.
And I think they went 1-16 in their first year, and maybe the second year they didn't do that well, but you need that core. That core. Caleb needs. Look, we just got a quarterback last year. We just got a wide receiver. We need a running back. We need those three to bond. And I think that is the nucleus on any team in the NFL. Those three key positions, you know. I don't know anything about this guy from Texas A&M, but I do know about this guy from Iowa. I followed him the last 2 years. He's a game breaker. He's a playmaker.
Steve, appreciate the call. You're talking about Caleb Johnson, who he went to the Steelers there in the third round. Steve, appreciate the call, man. Great stuff. And yet, we've been talking about this all night. When you look at the running back position and the depth at that position and what's left here as we head into the fourth round tomorrow. And I'll be here with Ant Heron from 12 to 2:30 following the Mully and Haw draft special from 9 to noon along with Olin Krutz. So we got you covering the NFL draft tomorrow as well. But looking at this class of running backs and Caleb Johnson on Dane Brugler's draft got third ranked running back in this draft. So for the Steelers to get him late in the third round, really kind of a steal if he lives up to that kind of value. And then after that, you had Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins, who went right before the Bears there in the first six picks of the second round. But still on the board, again, a very deep running back class here. Dylan Sampson from Tennessee is still sitting there with a second, third round grade. You got a couple guys with solid third round grades that are still on the board. Jordan James from Oregon is still sitting there. So if you can get a guy with a third round grade in the fourth round, you got value, and you hopefully got somebody who can complement DeAndre Swift there in the backfield. I wanted somebody. And this is what you'd get with an Ashton Jeanty or maybe an Omarion Hampton or even a Caleb Johnson or one of the two guys from Ohio State. I wanted somebody who just took the job from DeAndre Swift, where DeAndre Swift was the complimentary back. You know what I mean? And that guy was the feature back. I wanted that type of running back. I don't think you're going to get that, but I still think, based on what I'm reading and the grades of these running backs that are still left on the board, I do think that you can get somebody complimentary to DeAndre Swift and somebody who can sort of share the carries with him. And I'm okay with that. You know, I had hopes of what they would do at that position coming into the draft. But one thing I learned a long time ago is don't get too set on your hopes coming into a draft, that they take a certain guy or even a certain position. I think one time in my life, I was like, I want the Bears to draft that guy. And they did. And it was Greg Olsen, the tight end out of my – that was, I'm pretty sure, the only time in my entire life that has happened. So I've learned that lesson. I'm not going to get my heart set on one guy and call it a bad draft or a stupid draft if that's not the direction that they go. It's just not the direction that they went. Let me get in. Should I take in one more call, Tyler, or get to the break? All right, Eli Northbrook, you're on the score. What's up, Eli?
Yo, what's up? Thanks for having me, guys. Really excited to be on the show. I just wanted to talk to you about that Bills trade. I honestly didn't like the trade. I feel like they didn't get enough value in return. And I also feel like there was some options on the board, like Mike Green and a couple other edge rushers. Just what do you guys think about that trade?
I like the trade. I liked getting the extra pick there in the second round and getting a pick in the third round and moving out of the fourth. I feel like you just moved your whole board up. They didn't get any extra picks, but they just kind of moved their whole board up with an extra second and getting that third and moving out of the fourth. Green would have been really nice there with that pick. That was a guy who I had my eyes on. I mean, you're talking about a guy with a top 10 grade in this draft who slipped to you at 39. I would have really liked to see that. I think the reason why they don't go in that direction is you have a lot of money in Montez Sweat invested at the edge rusher position. You just went and got Dio Dangbo. You're going to pay crazy money for him, but enough money that you expect him to be the number one guy opposite of Montez Sweat. And if you're bringing in a rookie, you're bringing in a guy who's going to be a rotational player and probably getting, I don't know, 25, 30% of the snaps, which that's not getting a lot of production or a lot of field time from a guy who you're taking early in the second round. I think they saw a need. Secondly, they saw probably the best player available in Luther Burden and the third best wide receiver in the draft, and a lot of people thought would go in the first round, and kind of a need for a slot receiver in Ben Johnson's offense. So I think those were the factors. I would have liked to have seen them draft Mike Green.
I think the only thing for me that I'm glad that they stayed away from Mike Green is just with the allegations that he's got going on. Like, he's had issues in high school and in college. So, I mean, and that's not usually a guy that Ryan Poles, like, you know, the kind of character he wants. And I think that was the biggest reason of them staying away from him.
What did he have last year? 17 sacks, though? Am I right about that?
I'll double check, but I'm pretty, yes, 17 sacks, which it's insane.
That's crazy, dude. That's a game record at a premium position. You know what I mean? Now, wide receiver, also a premium position, and that's what they got there. And like I said, probably a guy who's going to see the field a little bit more than Green would have if he were drafted and put into the edge rusher rotation. So a lot of factors there. I would have been real happy with Green. I also like the pick of Luther Burden in the third. I don't have a huge problem with it. Not high on my list of needs coming into the draft, wide receiver, but when you look at it a little bit more closely, there wasn't really anybody who was who really had that slot receiver spot, which technically not a starter, but that third wide receiver is going to be on the field plenty. So we'll see what kind of role he plays for the Bears here in his rookie year. We'll hear from Luther Burden III a little later in the show. We'll also hear from Ryan Poles and check in with Chris Emma right after this. Let me get you the scouting report on Shamar Turner, the Texas A&M defensive tackle who they took at 62, and we'll hear from Turner himself. That's all coming up next right here on night two of the Score's draft coverage. Rami with you until midnight right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with more draft night coverage on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Here's Rami Makhlouf.
With you till midnight, and in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll hear from both Ryan Poles, Bears general manager, as day two of the NFL draft wraps up, and Chris Emma, who's out there at Hallis Hall covering it all for us here at The Score. Find his work at 670thescore.com. The Bears today selected Luther Burden III, wide receiver out of Missouri, with their first pick in the second round at 39, then made a trade with the Bills to move out of the third round but get two more picks in the second round, taking Ozzie Trapillo, Boston College offensive tackle, at number 56, then Shamar Turner, Texas A&M defensive tackle, at 62. We've heard from Trapillo. We'll hear from Burden coming up shortly. And again, we'll hear from Ryan Poles and Chris Emma. But let's put the spotlight on Shamar Turner, the defensive tackle from Texas A&M, taken with that third pick in the second round that the Bears had. Quick scouting report on him, some of his strengths and weaknesses. Strengths: explosive in his lower half and through his hips. Added 30 pounds before the 2024 season, but didn't sacrifice initial quickness to squeeze gaps. Flashes quick swim and violent club rip moves to power through shoulders. Effective on stunts and games that get him free. Hands are active and strong to snatch and pull blockers. Able to lock out, sumo sit, and track football in the backfield. Grew up idolizing Ray Lewis and plays with similar on-field violence. Willing to throw the first punch, both literally and figuratively. We'll get to that in a second. NFL scouts describe him as a foxhole type and outstanding teammate. Consistently plays through pain, including a stress factor during the 2024 season. Weaknesses: adrenaline is overflowing and compete skills border on reckless. That's a nice way of saying he's a little crazy. Right?
It's a nice way of putting it.
Just a little crazy. Flagged 7 times for personal foul penalties over the past 2 seasons. 5 in 2024, 2 in 2023. Ejected from a game in November of 23 after throwing multiple punches at an Ole Miss blocker, including an uppercut to the groin. I actually happened to come across a clip of this on Twitter and sent it right over to Tyler Buterbaugh to play on the air.
Look, Micah Pettis has been finishing blocks like this all game, and watch Turner get up with the frustration. It's right there.
What?
And another one.
And he goes right across up top.
Break that down.
Yeah, right to the family jewels there. That was like classic WWE guy turning heel. You know, he's like hurt. He's down on his knee and just comes with the uppercut to the groin. It was exactly that. Needs to improve aiming points for more efficient stack and shed. Aiming points were on point with that punch that he threw. Inconsistent gap integrity and can be pushed away from the run lane. Lackluster secondary, moves as a pass rusher. Sloppy tendencies as tackler. Double-digit misses on his 2024 tape. Off-field decision-making will be scrutinized after he was arrested and charged with reckless driving during his junior season. He faced internal discipline and did not miss any time, and mentioned the stress fracture during 2024. Had to have a rod inserted, played through the injury, but it didn't heal properly, and he missed a portion of the draft process. Played through a torn labrum over the second half of the 23 season and underwent off-season surgery. Underwent surgery following the 23 season also for a shin injury. So a little bit of a track record of injuries there. You know, the compete skills that border on reckless and some of the extracurricular activities, you got to harness it. You got to rein it in. But man, that's not always a bad thing. This is a violent sport, and you need a few guys who are like on the edge, you know, always on the edge and maybe a little unpredictable and a little reckless. You hope it doesn't hurt you too much in 15-yard penalties, but you do need a little crazy on the roster. You do. That's just this sport, man. And let's hear from Shamar Stewart. I'm sure he was asked about all of this when he met with the Chicago media, the Texas A&M defensive tackle, right here, right now on the Scores draft coverage.
Shamar, first of all, congratulations, man. Welcome to Chicago. As soon as they pick you, we start looking for clips, and one of the other reporters posted a video of Ole Miss O lineman kind of standing over you. You don't like dudes standing over you with a crotch in your face, huh?
No, sir, man. Hey, you know, take your wins with your losses, man. Was placing my hands instead of putting them on him. He knocked him down. It was a good play on him. Just got to do better on that one, bro. Can't happen no more. It ain't going to happen the next level, bro. We gonna get paid. We're going to get right. Oh, man.
Shamar, a couple questions for you. What went into the transition for you from edge to inside, and how did you handle that the best?
Really it was to get me drafted as high as I could possibly go, man. Especially knowing that I can play anywhere on the line, man. And the biggest transition was really playing double teams and pass rushing in there, man. Everything just happened so much quicker. Guys are on you so much faster. So you have to throw your moves faster. And as far as combos, bro, you just getting thick and playing them was getting your stick foot in the ground and everything else like that. But I would say those were the biggest, like, changes going inside.
What for you is the challenge of playing with that edge that you play with and making sure you keep it on the right side?
Man, you know, playing with an edge, being an edgy guy, playing with fire like that is always good. But, you know, you got to know how to control it, and you can't let it control you. So I feel like keeping it at a certain level, like right on the line. I can stay right on the line, but just don't cross it. And, man, I have a great career, bro. Great career.
Hey, man, everybody who you talk to and everything that you read, everybody says violent play. Have you always played like that back in high school? And like, what does playing violent mean to you?
I mean, it means everything, bro. To me, you can't be a football player, especially a D lineman, putting your nose in there, putting your hand in the dirt, if you ain't got a little something to you, bro. So you always got to play with a little fire, with a little edge, bro. I feel like that's what makes football exciting, too, you know? Get to bounce around and, you know, get your guys hyped up.
Shamar.
Bro, this is crazy. I'm sorry, y'all.
No, we're excited for you.
Yeah, congrats. Congrats, Shamar.
Appreciate it.
Two questions for you if you got the time. One,
yes, sir.
Everybody has said violent, aggressive. What is your mentality when you step between those lines?
Bro, honestly, just to, like, just kill, bro. Literally just go, bro. That's all I'm thinking about, bro. As soon as I touch the field, all I do is go, man. And I've been having that mentality since a kid, bro. I don't know what it is, bro. I honestly don't know, bro. It's just a fire inside me, bro. I don't know, kill though, and take their lunch money, because they ain't, offensive lineman really ain't worth nothing, bro. They really can't block me, bro. I'm sorry, bro. This is crazy.
Hey, Shamar. So, can you walk us through, like, last season you played with a stress fracture in your shin. Like, what did you find out during training camp that happened, and then you, like, had a rod inserted and you were able to play on that? How'd that happen?
I mean, you know, playing on a stress fracture, it was tough, I'm not gonna lie, especially as far as playing combos and stuff like that, and like wanting to trust it and protect it and stuff like that. But I had to. If I could go, I'm the type of dude, I'm gonna go, regardless of the situation. So if they tell me I can go, I'm gonna go 110%. So it was bad. I mean, it wasn't the best, but hey, I got through it.
I mean, what did it teach you about yourself just with, you know, you still had, you know, pretty good production and your second round pick because of it? It didn't seem to slow you down much.
Yes, ma'am. Really, it helped me learn a lot about myself as far as that edge I played with, controlling that. And then, bro, I'm really like, I can get through anything. I can do anything I put my mind to, injury-wise, life-wise, anything like that. It taught me that I was strong, and I'm way stronger mentally than I ever thought I was. And I can pretty much do anything I put my mind to. Like, literally, that's what it taught me.
Shamar, can you just kind of detail and describe the emotions you're feeling tonight? It seems like it's probably pretty surreal for you right now.
Yes, sir, man. It's man, I had a little minute, so it kind of feels surreal, man. I'm not going to lie. this is just a dream, bro. It's something I've been dreaming about my whole life, being able to play in the NFL and being able to make a name for myself and create a legacy for my family and our last name, man. So, I mean, it feels good, bro. Our name will forever be known now. Like, this is just the start of a long legacy, man. So it feels great, bro, to answer your question.
That's really great energy, man. I'm super happy for you. But I don't know how much you know about the Bears' defensive tackles. They got young guy like Javon Dexter, but they also got two proven vets in Grady Jarrett and Andrew Billings. How can you come in and bring your demeanor and your skill set, but also kind of learn from those veterans and add some pieces of their game to yours?
Man, just being a sponge, bro. Coming in, not being too good to learn from those guys, because you can learn something from all of them guys that you just named. They got great vets, and they got a great he ain't a rookie, but shoot, he's becoming a vet with Dex, bro. Yeah, bro, just shoot, being a sponge, as soon as I walk in, bro, not thinking I'm too good for anything they're saying or doing, bro, and coming in and soaking up everything from those guys, man. And shoot, what I can bring, bro, is that fire, bro. Like, when I'm on the field, everybody going to feel it, and I feel like I can make the defense a lot better, bro. Just bouncing around, making plays, watching other guys make plays, celebrate with the guys, turn up. Like, it's going to be it's gonna be good in Chicago, bro. Sorry for the glare.
Shamar, I'm just curious. When Coach Fisher was fired from A&M, a lot of your teammates left that defensive line, but you decided to stay. Why was it important for you to stay at A&M?
Man, I had already made my home up at A&M. Like that's where I felt that was my home, bro. And shoot, once I'm at home base, I would love to stay at home base, you know, like no matter the situation, and see it through, bro. My loyalty and my relationship with those guys will overrule anything as far as NIL or any other coach trying to come get me as far as winning anything like that. So yes, sir, I would say that.
I love that guy, man. I really like what I just heard from Shamar Turner right there. I know guys like this. I don't know if you do, Tyler. They're really nice. Like, they're big softies. They're big teddy bears until they're not. You know
what right. I
mean? Until you that switch flips. You know what he's talking about? Killing people and taking their lunch money. Like, he literally went from kill, take their lunch money, to like borderline on tears talking about what this meant for his family. That I love that dude already, and you have to harness it. You have to harness it. But I like that he has that little bit of crazy to him, you know. And I don't mean like crazy in a bad way. I mean like that crazy you need on a football roster.
I think having Grady Jarrett as that veteran to kind of coach him through, I think, will be a perfect fit to kind of level himself out.
Dude, I like that guy more than I already did. I like that pick more than when he said kill and take their lunch money. Oh, you should have seen the smile on my face. That's what I want to hear.
It was great.
That's what I want to hear from football players. We got to hit a quick break. Busy 11 o'clock hour. We'll hear from Ryan Poles. We'll check in with Chris Emma at Hallis Hall. And after this, talk a little bit more about the first second round pick that the Bears took. Luther Burden III, the wide receiver out of Missouri. We got a little behind the scenes of his moment of his dream coming true and making it to the NFL. Also, we'll hear from Burden himself. That's coming up next. Night two of the Scores draft coverage back in just a few minutes right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.